2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, or as the Message Bible says, anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. In contrast to that is verse 13, evil men, unscrupulous con men among Christians and preachers will continue to exploit the faith, and they are as deceived as the people whom they lead astray. And as long as such people are out there, things can only get worse. But don't let all that faze you. Stick with what you have learned, verse 14, and believe. Sure, knowing from whom you learned those things. So, this is an amazing verse that every single person, verse 12, who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And the scripture must be fulfilled. It doesn't say some of those will be persecuted. It doesn't say most of those. Then we could escape. But we can't escape. Because it says all. Now either that is the inspired word of the Holy Spirit, or it was Paul's own idea, which is not necessarily right. Or Paul was exaggerating when he said all. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. I've studied it for 50 years and I've never found anything in it that hinders me from believing that it's inspired by God. I've read many, many books, even Christian books. And I'll tell you, there is only one book that's totally inspired by God, and that's the Bible. It's the only book you can rely on 100%. And this book says that every single person who lives godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's like saying, we considered that earlier, God disciplines every son whom he receives. And if you are one who is not being disciplined, it probably means you're not probably, it means that you're not one of God's children. That's what the Bible says. So it's a pretty accurate way of finding out whether we are children of God by asking ourselves, are we disciplined when we do something wrong? In the same way, here's a pretty good way of finding out whether we are living godly or desire to live godly. For myself, I took it seriously many years ago that if I really belong to that category of people mentioned in this verse, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, I will be persecuted. And if I'm not persecuted, the scripture is heaven and earth will pass away, this word will not pass away, then whatever I may think about myself, I'm not really living, seeking to live godly in Christ Jesus. I'm probably a compromiser, a diplomat, a chameleon that changes colors according to the society I'm with. Christian chameleons will not be persecuted. That means those who act holy when they're in the midst of holy people, those who use religious language when they're in the midst of Christians, and then in the midst of their unconverted relatives, they gossip and backbite just like anybody else. And then when they're in the midst of their worldly friends in college or in their office, they talk the same rubbish they talk about. Such people will never be persecuted because such people are chameleons who change their color according to the group they are with. I'm not really talking to such people because I don't believe such people have the slightest desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. A chameleon is not a child of God. A cat cannot change its nature when it's among the pigs and, you know, be dirty like them. A cat is a cat wherever it goes. So, in the same way, if you're really born from above, and God has put in you a desire by His Spirit to live godly, you will be persecuted. There is no doubt about it. And when we talk about persecution, I'm not necessarily talking about being thrown to the lions or being burnt at the stake or having your nails pulled out or whipped or beaten or imprisoned. Those are all extreme forms of persecution, which may also come. And there are many Christians facing that in the world today. But it could be in smaller ways in the beginning. I mean, there's a kindergarten class in persecution and there's a PhD class in persecution. But we'll be in the school, at least in the kindergarten. And the kindergarten forms of persecution may not be physical at all. It may be more mental, emotional, and very often it will come from your own family members if they are not converted. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 10, and it's important for us to see this for one reason. Jesus said some amazing words. I believe that many Christians have got a one-sided view of Jesus. They don't see the full picture of Jesus. They see Jesus putting his arm around the leper and washing the disciples' feet. But they don't see him taking a whip and chasing those who made money in the name of God out of the temple. Or they don't hear him saying, "How can you escape hell, you generation of vipers?" Many Christians have got a one-sided opinion of Jesus. The world definitely has a one-sided opinion of Jesus. You know, gentle and kind and nice. I can understand the world having that opinion because they don't read the Bible. The sad thing is most Christians have that opinion too because they don't read the Bible either. So here is something that Jesus said. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but in me, you will have peace." And he's the one who says in verse 34, Matthew 10:34, "Don't think I came to bring peace on the earth." Isn't that what people sing at Christmas time? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Have we had peace on earth in 2,000 years after the Prince of Peace came? Let's face it. It gets worse and worse with every year. "Don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. Not even in a family. I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword." How many, of course, non-Christians don't even believe that. How many Christians believe it? That Jesus came to bring a sword. I came. We say, why did Jesus come? There are many reasons why he came. He came to die for the sins of the world. But among all the list of the reasons which you would say, if somebody asked you, why did Jesus come? He came to deliver us from sin. Would you also add this as one of the reasons Jesus came? I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, the world is full of daughters-in-law who are against their mother-in-law, but for the wrong reasons. Jesus is not talking about that reason, where they have a conflict because each has got their own stubborn self-will. No, he's talking about sons and daughters-in-law, because they take a stand for the Lord, and their loved ones or relatives don't accept that. It could even be moving from one Christian denomination to another, which doesn't preach the new birth, to another which preaches the new birth and holiness and godliness of life, and the old parents or relatives or brothers and sisters belong to a system that accepts that anyone who is born into a Christian family is a Christian. One of the biggest lies propagated by the devil. Acts 11:26 says very clearly what a Christian is. The disciples were called Christians. But the devil's very cleverly changed that to whoever's born in a Christian family is a Christian, whoever gets sprinkled as a child is a Christian. all types of deceptions. I mean, the devil's been changing God's word right from the Garden of Eden. So we could have parents like that, relatives like that, pastors like that, priests like that. And then when we take a stand saying we believe what Jesus said, unless a man is born from above, born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We're going to run into conflict with people who say, hey, no, we were baptized. Somebody sprinkled some water on my head when I was 3 months old and I didn't even give him permission. But there I became a child of God, they say. So we run into conflict with people like that. And then they become, it says in verse 36, a man's enemies are the members of his own household. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. It's the Message translation. But if you prefer and love your father or mother more than me, you don't deserve to be mine. You're not worthy of me. If you prefer your son or daughter over me, you don't deserve to be mine. I have the greatest respect for people who have come to Christ from non-Christian homes, who've lost inheritance, sometimes driven out of their home. Sometimes parents don't talk to them for years on end. Separation. What a price they have paid to receive Christ. Many of us who've had the blessing of being born in a Christian family have never experienced that.